You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, we have a town hall. We got six-man tag team action playa and a lot of stunners. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, everybody? We are live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify even. You're liking, subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzz TV as we break down this week's SmackDown Live After Show. What's up, everybody? I am Christian Rosenberg. Whole gang is here this week. She is Miss Gabby Loren.
Hello, guys. I will be moderating our live chat tonight, not Christian Rosenberg.
Because someone's internet doesn't appear to be working, which is mine, but hers is.
And I usually moderate, right? You guys, let's take a fan vote. Who moderates a chat roll, Gabby or Christian? Christian seems to think he does, but we all know the answer to that.
I don't know why we're getting into a vote right off the bat of the show, because I haven't even gotten to say hi to Tom Connolly.
I know, it's okay. I'm going to say Gabby.
Thank you!
Well, we can tell this show's off to a great start.
I don't have internet, so... Yeah. I just look over on her computer and go, oh, I like that comment. That's a good one.
Well, we love seeing the comments as the show goes on, from you guys hanging out in the live chat, as well as, of course, on YouTube and iTunes, and talk with us on social media. Mm-hmm. We'll get to all that fun stuff in a little bit, but we got SmackDown off the heels of, in my honest opinion, a very entertaining Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
I thought it was good. I feel a lot of the matches didn't live up to the hype, though. They didn't live up to my expectations.
Sure. See, with me, honestly, I felt it certainly didn't have any type of big moments like WrestleMania or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I really felt that I was entertained by every single match. Like, I don't think there was a match that I was just like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree.
No match of the year candidates, but I'm just like, from top to bottom, I'm surprised. I was really into, I mean, hell, I'm like, I liked how they used Undertaker. I don't remember the last time I could say that.
Also, I loved the opening of tonight's SmackDown with the Town Hall.
Yeah.
I really like the Town Hall idea, regardless of if it was Shane McMahon's or not. I think it's fun because it adds extra spice, I guess, to the show. And you have people like Liv Morgan stepping up, able to step in.
Well, yeah. Let's get
some spotlight.
Let's jump on into that.
Yeah.
Because the Town Hall was bouncing from Extreme Rules. Mm. So that's why we're getting into that. But it starts with Kevin Owens showing up in the back, and Shane's like, hey, I'm going to take your advice, and we're going to have a town hall, but you're not invited, so take the night off. Okay, bye-bye.
You couldn't have told him yesterday? This town hall was...
I mean, he traveled to the arena.
I know. We were told yesterday there was going to be a town hall.
You know, like, the most heelish move in that is the fact he did not give him a heads up, so he didn't have to make all those travel arrangements.
Yeah. Man.
Shame on you, Shane.
Yeah.
Shame.
All that money wasted.
But yeah, but then we get into the town hall. Mm-hmm. First person to step up to the microphone is Roman. Mm-hmm. Roman said, no one in the room respects you, and you can kiss my ass. And that was all we saw of Roman Reigns for the entire show.
Because he's a Raw guy. He's not on SmackDown.
That was something I was also going to get to, because I was so confused why there were some Raw guys in that massive group of people. Mm. Drew McIntyre's a Raw guy.
He's on both shows now.
If he was here, that means he's on both shows, because you don't go to a town hall if you're not a part of it.
Well, apparently wild cards are allowed to.
Like, yeah. Essentially, if you live in Van Nuys, you don't go to the West Hollywood town hall.
You shouldn't.
Well, you're not supposed to. I don't even think it's allowed.
On. If it's on a Monday, you can go to it. And if it's on Tuesday, maybe you can go to it. But if it's on a Wednesday, NXT doesn't have town hall. So,
well, you know what might be a fun idea, Gabby, since you're moderating the chat roll, as you've already exclaimed. Maybe we should, you should moderate, you know, an extra town hall with the people in our live chat. If they have something they want to ask or say, you can convey it.
Yeah, see, oh, I like one question. I like that one.
Which one?
I'll answer that question.
Tom, what was your expirations?
Expectations.
Oh, okay, you spelled it wrong. What they mean. Expectations for Black and Cesaro match for Extreme Rules match. That was from Star Drew.
I thought it was very, it was a good match, but I was expecting more.
Oh, I love it. I love their Extreme Rules
and
match.
I didn't like that Cesaro lost.
Well, that's when we're going to get into it momentarily. But we kind of talked about that was when we were just like, I don't know which way they will go with that one.
Like, I don't
because I disagree with tonight.
Yeah, like I don't see any of it benefiting Cesaro at all. And you're like, why are you repackaging this guy to do something different, and then just making him lose?
Well, because Cesaro shows up at the end of the town hall, but first we have Charlotte, and then, as you mentioned, Liv Morgan, she exists.
she is real.
She's
real, right? She tells Charlotte, stop being a phony. Is there anything real about you?
Ooh.
Which you hear the New Day just like, oh, snap. And then Shane cuts Liv off. Buddy Murphy makes an appearance as well, saying, you know, Kevin Owens should keep my name out of his mouth. And Shane's like, oh, I like you. You don't like Kevin Owens, too. You're my friend now.
Welcome to the group. Welcome to the stable.
Apollo Crews makes an appearance, interrupted by Zelina. And then Elias shows up. He's interrupted by New Day. Kofi starts preaching his support for what Kevin Owens was actually doing. Mike gets cut off. Then everyone's dismissed, except Cesaro, a Raw guy, has his own microphone.
Yep.
Why, he was the only one that had his own mic. I don't know. But he's like, hey, I want another fight with Aleister Black. And Shane's like, all right, we're going to do that. So then we have a rematch from Extreme Rules. Now, I personally disagree with this for Sunday. I absolutely loved that match. I thought by far was the best match on the show. And I love where the Black Mass really came out of absolute nowhere, very stunning, because that's the purpose of that move. So I was okay with Aleister getting that win because it was just going so much back and forth that it really could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Then tonight happened, and Aleister Black essentially won an extended squash on Cesaro. So, yeah, to your point, we've repacked Cesaro. He lost on Sunday, which I'm not ruling against because you've been really hyping Aleister Black for the last couple months. Then he's the first one eliminated in the Battle Royal on Raw and then challenges Aleister Black and gets his ass kicked.
Yeah, like, what? I don't get the point of that. Like, what are we doing with Cesaro? It's a waste of a talent. You're just wasting this guy. Like, just let him out of his contract. Let him go somewhere else.
Wow!
Like, why though? Like,
this is almost a semi-rage, Tom.
I mean, I'm not really that... I'm not that mad about it. I just think it's a little ridiculous to where you're putting the time and effort into this guy. At least tonight, I think it would have been even better tonight if it was the opposite of, like, he just uppercutted him out of nowhere and just pinned him.
And like, that's what I thought was going to happen. I thought Cesaro was going to get a win tonight.
Like, it's like, but also I think because WWE likes to be relevant with what's happening today, and I saw, like, a tweet about it earlier, they're like, oh, I don't think Aleister Black did that bottle cap challenge right. And, like, you know what that is?
Yeah, I saw a video of Aleister.
Well, no. Well, this was a video of him kicking Cesaro in the car. And you're like, that's like if you're trying,
so they're
to,
trying
stay
to incorporate
relevant, that's
something
dumb.
That's trending.
Yeah, that's dumb. Like, it's
that's dumb.
You're doing. I don't know if that's why they're doing it, but the fact that they put out a tweet like that, it's like, wow, you're doing this because of some challenge online.
So Zeno Hour wants to know, who should Aleister Black face next?
Cesaro.
I mean, I'm not against more matches with Cesaro because they're so good, but that's a great question, and again, I still don't know if Aleister's a heel or a face.
Yeah.
It still really hasn't been identified. Cesaro calling him out for the fight is a very baby face move. But Aleister Black is winning without, like, cheating or anything, which is also very baby face-like. But he's...
And Cesaro's a bad guy.
And Cesaro's kind of a bad guy. But, so it's just like, I don't know which way they want to go with him. So then with that, my initial thought would be have Aleister feud with Nakamura.
That would be great. I like that idea.
But I don't know if it's going that way.
Who knows?
After we saw what we saw later in the show.
Yeah, I mean, who knows with that? So,
and we technically still don't really know who Bray Wyatt's going after, right?
No, not a clue. I mean, but that was so cool. I don't think we know for sure at all.
I mean, I feel like he's going after Balor, but I mean,
well,
that might be foreshadowing for something later on.
Yeah.
Anywho,
we'll get to it later.
Shane is backstage with Dolph Ziggler because Kevin Owens has been kicked out, but Ziggler's like, no, like I should. Oh, I completely forgot to mention at the end of the town hall, Owens showed up and stunned Shane.
Yeah,
kinda.
Come on, Shane.
Shane, mistakes happen. I can't be mad at him.
He vinced it up.
I mean, there's a nice shot of a correct stunner from last week. And that's typically how Shane usually takes stunners very well, actually. Some type of miscue. And when they did the replays, you did not see that miscue again, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You got to watch the very beginning of it to kind of see what happened. But there was a stunner. Shane is backstage with Ziggler. He's like, no, we gotta get revenge on him. Let's get him back here and let me wrestle him in the main event. And Shane's like, you think you can get him back? Yeah, I got connections. I can reach out to Kevin and make him turn around in his car. He's like, okay.
But it wasn't even like a, oh, I have something evil to get him back here. Like, hey, Kevin, I don't know. I'm going to steal your cat or something if you don't get back here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, something.
Or how about Shane being like, Dolph, do you really think you can do this considering you've lost every match since you've come back?
Mm.
I know what he could have said.
I think he beat Kofi once, but okay.
He could have offered him Shania Twain tickets, and I'm sure he would have been right back in flesh.
Yeah, oh, callback.
Mm-hmm.
No, that could have done it.
I'm sure.
Maybe that was in the text. That he apparently sent it.
And he's too shy to admit it.
But that's also like a weird thing of like, Ziggler's like asking the ref, like, you got his number, man? Like, I'm pretty sure you probably have his number, but also, like, I want to know what he texted him. Like, what did he say to him to get him back to the arena?
You know what they actually should have done?
Hmm.
He should have tweeted him, because then everyone would have been able to see
it. Yeah.
And then Kevin could have replied to it,
yep.
And then all of a sudden, social media interaction!
Yeah.
What a concept!
Yep. Nope, all we got is a text that we'll never see.
But Tom, you know something that we will see?
What?
All the great comments that you guys leave on the iTunes and the YouTube page. Gabby is trying to hold that grin in from that award-winning segue
that
there.
That was a good one.
But yeah, because we always want to make the show better and better for you, and Tom's going to tell you how you can help us do that.
I am, guys. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, you need to make sure that you subscribe to our channel. If you're listening on iTunes, you got to give us a 5-star rating, and you got to leave a comment on YouTube or on iTunes. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. Let us know, like, who's the better moderator, Gabby or Christian, in the chat room.
Tonight, Gabby's winning because my internet is not working.
When the internet does work, I can still read. And that means the most votes towards either one of us is a winner. So if the chat roll believes I'm a better moderator,
you are tonight by default because I can't be in the chat roll because of my internet.
Whatever. When do you ever shout out the chat roll? Only I do.
Well, then give some shout outs.
Yeah, give some shout outs. Yes.
Well, I was going to do that as a segue after Tom's speech. So, Tom, continue.
I will get back to my speech. But yeah, definitely leave a comment and let us know what you like, what you don't like. And, you know, we love doing this every week, being with you guys. So definitely leave us some great comments each week.
Speaking of comments, we have some amazing fans in our live chat that love engaging with me so that I can share the news with Christian and Tom on our SmackDown Afterwards podcast.
I can't wait
to
edit this and make it look like that never happened.
Oh, we're live, pal.
Just like Shane.
Live, yeah.
Just like Shane messing up the stunner.
Anyways, I want to shout out a few people tonight. We have Joseph Boza, Zeno Hour, Carlos09E, DNG87, Dan GMQ, Kevin Salucci, Michael Blake, Rocky Empire, Marie Annette.
Look at Tommy Lee's in here.
Who else? T. Lee. I love it.
Trevor Lee, Tommy Lee, one of them.
Probably Tommy Lee, hopefully. Who else do we have? Lupio316. Thank you also for the vote. I appreciate it. However, I do want to let you know, Rosenberg, that he likes your shirt.
as he should, with this shirt that you can get on ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg.
So thank you guys all for tuning in week after week. Again, give us a thumbs up if you're watching right now and you are here. Also, make sure to comment in our comment section, not just in the chat roll, but below our video so that we can have it forever.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Charlotte versus Liv Morgan. Liv's first match on SmackDown since the Superstar Shakeup, which was in April. We have not seen Liv in 3 months, and it wasn't because of injury. Why?
Because, I don't know. She was waiting to be real.
So, well, we find that out in the match. So, it's pretty competitive, but fairly quick. Mm. Charlotte locks in the figure eight for the win, but the story is after. Liv is almost crying, then grabs Corey Graves' headset and says, "When I come back, Charlotte was right. When I come back, I'm going to be real," and throws the mic down.
I love that part.
We need to talk about this.
Okay.
This is foreshadowing also.
Yes, it is.
Because in my opinion, she's going to maybe turn heel.
It's going to be a complete new change of character, for sure.
New change of character, for sure. I agree.
Whether it's
with
face or heel, who knows, but it's going to be a change, absolutely.
Yes, but I feel like the anger she had when she grabbed his mic and said what she said means I'm going to be a heel next. So that's my vote.
I don't think so. I think she's going to be a face. I think she's going to go back after Charlotte.
I think she's going to try to get back after Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to definitely be something more aggressive. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that could be considered a heel or face, depending on what they do with it. I do think she's not going to come out to Ruby Riott's music anymore.
Yeah.
And not have the suspenders and the ripped pants, some new gear altogether.
Yeah.
Maybe stop the Jolly Rancher tongue thing. She may keep that. Who knows?
I don't know. I think that seems like...
But there's definitely a change of broom, which means they're going to be doing something with her, which is good.
So Carlos09E in the chat roll says something amazing, and I totally love this idea. This may be way too soon, but WWE could literally have their own version of Joker and Harley Quinn with Bray and Liv. What do you guys think? I love it. What do you guys think? Literally.
If there are any wrestlers on the roster that can do it, it's them. I mean, I agree with that.
I think that would be so much fun.
That would be interesting. All of a sudden, Liv Morgan is the one who kind of falls under Bray's spell.
Yeah. Well, don't we also have, what is the witch's name?
Sister Abigail.
Sister Abigail. What if she's Sister Abigail?
Well, I don't think she would change into Sister Abigail. Yeah, because we all already know her.
Sister Liv Abigail. I don't know.
Sure. Write it. Book it. Done.
Sister Labigail. Yep, done.
Labigail.
Tag team match, Mandy and Sonya Deville versus Amber Moon and her mystery partner, which ends up being SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley. Tag team. We're going to be hearing more Teddy Long later. So, a few weeks ago, Gabby mentioned, and I think the following week, it was just Tom and I where we brought up, they're teasing the hinting of some type of sparks.
I can't stop watching to see what happens.
And all of a sudden that came up. Now I'm just watching them with like a magnifying glass.
Me too.
And tonight...
But it happened though.
Tonight, before they hop in the ring, for just a split second, they look at each other, gently hold each other's hands, and then run in the ring and do their thing.
But did you see what happened after that though?
God, what do they do? Oh, then they kind of hugged in the ring or whatever.
I don't know.
I want them to have some interesting story, but I don't want that to be the story. If that makes sense.
Okay, so we talked about this prior, but somebody mentioned, could this be a Divas angle? So in my mind,
which it could very well be.
If it is a Divas angle, is the girlfriend in real life of Sonya Deville going to get upset that Sonya has to play this character on TV with her best friend?
I'm sure there's going to be an episode about it.
What do you guys think, chat roll? Let us know, or people just listening or watching.
And if you've seen photos of Sonya Deville's girlfriend...
She's beautiful, but looks very much...
She's like a beautiful blonde. She's a beautiful blonde.
Exactly.
Yeah. So...
What if she's super jealous of Mandy?
Tune in Total Divas to find out. And there will be an afterbuzz of that, too.
Rings back up.
Yeah. Decent tag match. Amber hits the Eclipse on Mandy Rose for the win. After the match, Kayla comes in the ring and asks Bayley, who do you feel should get the next shot at your title at SummerSlam? Because apparently now the champions can just issue the whoever is their challenger.
Yeah.
And Bayley offers
the number one contenders.
And Bayley offers it to Amber Moon, and Amber's very excited for it. So we're gonna have Bayley and Amber at SummerSlam.
Don't know though. I'm just saying it wasn't official yet.
They didn't do a graphic on it?
I don't think so.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong on that. But, I mean, that's who Bayley wants. Mm. I'm totally down for that match.
You don't think Mandy or Sonya is going to come out next week and be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You're
just picking her as your opponent?
I hope you're right.
Fatal 4-Way, why not?
I'd be intrigued by it because then
we'll really find out.
Yeah. It is official?
Yes. According to WWE.com, they posted that at... SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley versus Ember Moon.
I'm not saying that. I mean,
but it could still change.
It could change.
Yes. I mean, next week you're absolutely right. They come up with some promo.
I mean,
one of them could beat one of them.
Sonya beat Ember like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, we can do that in the match, and all of a sudden, triple threat, fatal 4-way, and then you could do some really big spot or something with Sonya and Mandy.
Yep,
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, like one of them like sacrificing themselves.
Yeah,
for the other. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, and it could add to their story.
I'm talking about their story.
Their story and Bayley being champion.
Gabby, I'm almost like so annoyed that you brought that into my mind because now it's like, A, it seems like it's right. B, that's the only thing I'm watching for them. Just to find the little hints, the little seeds that are being planted.
Yes.
Ugh. I'm so.
It's not like you're mad about it. Yeah.
A little.
To be real.
Actually.
Whose side are you playing for?
Wait, what? I'm talking about as far as for wrestling storylines and not bringing a legit, subject up in a story.
But they did say they were going to try to.
But yes, they're both very attractive women. Is that what you want me to say?
Sure.
Okay.
But they did say before that they were trying to diversify their storylines.
Yes.
Granted, being wrestling, that is more male-oriented, like viewership. I don't think there could be an angle with a guy, like two guys. But I don't know how accepted that would be at first. You know what I mean? Like, if you really think about it, obviously, if it's two women, guys are going to be into it more.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't know how they would bring it up the other way.
All right.
So.
New Day.
No one wants to rebut them.
No.
You're like, oh, you're moving on.
Moving on.
I agree.
New Day and a celebration. New Day and a celebration because all of them got gold. Now, granted, tag titles are white gold. They just want to clarify. Three African-American leprechauns at the end of the rainbow.
I love them clanging the belts at the beginning.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Big E wants to make sure that people stop licking ice cream in the grocery stores. I agree. Stop doing that. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't even really eat ice cream, but that's disgusting.
That's why I don't buy cartons of ice cream.
Nasty.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, they're talking about, oh, Daniel Bryan wants to come out and make an announcement. We know he wants another shot at tag titles. We accept your rematch. Let's have it right now. Out comes Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. Then they walk to the back. Hold on, Josh in the booth. Because then Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan come out. And then they walk back. And then come back out again. And then back out. And then one more time they come, oh, this is going to be it. And then they drop the mic and leave for good.
I want to know what he was going to say. I want to know.
However, if we don't find out what he's going to say, but then out comes Samoa Joe.
This guy again?
I like Samoa Joe.
I love Samoa Joe.
I'm going to tell Samoa Joe you said that.
I'm just saying. This guy again?
This guy again? No, that's actually pretty funny.
So... Joe's like, well, if they're offering title shots, Kofi, why don't you do that as well and give me a title shot right here? Mm-hmm. But then he's interrupted by Elias, who last I saw was losing the 24/7 title to R-Truth and thinks that he deserves a shot at the WWE title.
He's the greatest acquisition in SmackDown history. Of course he deserves a title shot.
And then they're interrupted by Randy Orton, who said, well, it's been a while since I've had gold around my waist. So then... I'm a fan of Elias. I am. Mm-hmm. But I want to know, even from a storyline standpoint, the three of you are arguing about having a shot at the title. You're sports entertainers. You've seen some of these matches that they've done. Elias says, well, he can't give a title shot to all three of us. It's called a
fight. I thought he said we all can't be champion. That's what I thought.
No, he said we all can't have fight for the title. It's called a fatal four-way match. Or you all individually can have matches. Mm. So instead of one of us having the opportunity of being the top guy on SmackDown, let's have ourselves a six-man tag team match.
Another tag team match tonight.
I told you Teddy Long was going to be busy
tonight. I know.
So you give up the possibility of having a shot at the WWE title.
Well, I think their shot was that if they pin the champion, you know,
well,
in that backwards.
Well, who's Elias? Who's Elias been buddy-buddy with?
Shane, I know.
So if he gave it another 30 seconds, Shane could have probably walked out there and be like, Elias, you get the shot.
Mm. Well, Shane has bigger fish to fry.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Still selling that half stunner.
He was busy.
So, we have the six-man tag. It was a fun match. Trouble in Paradise on Elias. It looks like, oh, that's going to do it. Mm. But nope, Randy Orton's the legal man. Turns, gives an RKO to Kofi. Randy Orton pins the WWE champion in a six-man tag. So, while it's not official yet, we can pretty much probably set in stone, SummerSlam will be Kofi defending against Randy Orton.
And I'm okay with that.
I am too. It's been forever since we've had Orton in a big marquee match.
Yeah. And I think it leads back to their history together.
Yep.
So, I think, you know, Randy Orton's going to spoil this like he spoils everything else and win the championship of SummerSlam.
Wow! You are bitter tonight.
No, I'm not bitter. I just feel like I just think they're not going to give it to Joe, but then they'll give it to Orton for some weird reason.
Well, to Tom's point, yeah, usually when Orton's involved, he comes out on top. So I just feel like there's a high percentage and probability that he's going to get the title.
I think it's like a 50-50 shot in a one-on-one match. It's crazy.
I mean, I think it could be a fit. I think it could end up being a fit four-way, though.
And it might.
Like, I think
and again, time could tell.
I think they could, like, do stuff to the New Day to piss Shane off, you know, and then just keep stacking the odds against Kofi.
Yeah.
Because I think it's...
That's true. I was like, you know, it was a one-on-one match. But now...
Yeah.
Elias will be in it, too.
It'll be three heels versus Kofi as the face, so...
Yeah. Gabby, what's the chat roll saying with that? Do we have any other town hall questions or comments?
A lot of things that aren't relevant to what we just said.
Perfect.
There were so many matches.
There were a lot of matches.
If you guys do have any other questions and town hall stuff, please include them right now. We'll answer those.
There you go.
If I may include something in this.
Please do so, Josh, in the booth.
With Randy Orton's record at SummerSlam, he actually has a 6-3 record dating back to 2003 and then up to 2013. Excluding some of his other matches, obviously against Brock Lesnar and anything like that. So I would say it's about 6-3 and one no contest when he got bludgeoned by Brock.
Mm. And then there was that time where he magically found the missing World Heavyweight title in 2004.
That is true. Very true.
Those of you who follow wrestling. Those of you who follow wrestling will know
what I mean. I was like,
very true.
Tom. It took a minute.
Yeah.
But
all right, well, we have another question.
Sure.
Zeno Hour, why is the crowd really hot for Randy Orton now?
They've been hot for, like, I don't know, maybe the last year or two. And I really think the only reason is they want to see an RKO.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Mm-hmm. It's just like, he's here. That means an RKO is going to happen. And with so many of these new high-flying athletes in WWE, that means so many more unique ways of seeing an RKO.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Randy Orton's just, like, classic. So all these adults that grew up with Randy Orton now have children, and they've kind of showed their children, and, like, these are the superstars we love. And so I just think he will always be a household name, and that's why he always will have, like, good crowd support, well, in my opinion.
He's one of the greatest champions of all time. When you break it down, 13 times?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Because, like, for example, even my nephew, so my half-brother's, like, super into WWE wrestling, and with my little nephew, he wasn't really allowed to watch WWE for a while because of, like, violence. Violence, like, just profanity, the women issues back, like, before. I guess he thought it was still going on. But some stuff still goes on, like Mandy Rose and Sonya or whatever, you know, when Mandy was in her underwear in one scene.
Or the odd zoom in of Lacey Evans' rear end on the paper phone.
I mean, like, he wasn't allowing him to really watch it, but he had all the action figures, he had a ring, and he knew who John Cena was, he knew who The Rock was, Hulk Hogan, and he had all the figures of those classics. So that just, like, goes to my point that these parents that grow up with it kind of, like, teach their kids who these legends are.
I can agree with you completely, because I know I've talked about it on the show, my 7-year-old nephew is now becoming obsessed with wrestling. So he watches the network with my brother-in-law, and they typically watch older stuff that my brother-in-law remembers watching when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So when I ask my nephew, who are your favorite wrestlers, his answers are John Cena and Kane.
That's so awesome.
I'm like, Kane, you got to start watching some new guys with the mask.
With the mask.
With the mask.
With the mask. Okay. Has he gotten to it without the mask?
I don't know. I actually have to find out. Carmella finds R-Truth hanging out in the washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, he said, how did Kane live in there? Like, speaking of Kane, I don't get that reference.
I was thinking, I don't know.
I don't know.
But then I was like, what? No.
Wait, repeat the exact line.
I mean, I don't have it written down word for word.
Like, I don't know how Kane
How did Kane live in one of these or something like that?
Mm.
Was Kane dirty?
No.
Like, he needed to be in a washing machine?
He had burn scars.
I
don't know what the washing machine
is. I think he thought it was a coffin. That's...
I mean, that makes the most sense.
But it definitely wasn't a coffin.
No, it wasn't. But R-Truth doesn't know anything, which is
confusing.
So Carmelo's like, hey, I know where you can hang out in public and not worry about being pinned. You just have to wear a costume. Okay, we're going to go to Comic-Con. No, I'm not a con. I served my time.
That's good.
But now you know there's going to be things all over the YouTube page this weekend of R-Truth and Carmella running around Comic-Con.
Yeah.
With the title changing hands in various spots. This makes me... I'm not a Comic-Con person at all. This makes me want to go to Comic-Con. I can run around with them.
I hope somebody else... I hope they think it's Drake and it ends up being someone else that wins or something.
Someone who dressed up as Drake Maverick at Comic-Con.
Yeah, or something, yeah. So.
Or actually Hornswoggle is actually there.
Did you see the video of Drake today?
Today?
Walking around in his underwear? Putting up flyers on the street?
No, but that's great. Women's tag team title match. That's right. The women's tag titles still exist. Apparently, the challengers don't get an entrance. Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of tag team matches.
And the champions barely got an entrance.
Challengers didn't get an entrance at all. Asuka and Kairi Sane mop the floor with the Iconics, but then Iconics purposely get themselves counted out so they don't lose the titles. And then Asuka and Kairi Sane proceed to beat the hell out of them some more. They made the champions look so good.
I like the idea that they, you know, they're smart enough to be like, we'll just get a count out win. Because I think it'll end up leading to another match where they either get disqualified.
Yep.
And then leading to SummerSlam where they actually have the match. But then the thing that I hate is that they've defended the titles once before this. They barely
against jobbers
any matches, and then now I feel like they're gonna just pass the belts on to the next tag team, which I think is stupid.
I partially disagree with that, and I think it's gonna make it actually even worse. So they had tonight, then they'll do a match like next week or something like that where there's no count out. They'll get themselves disqualified. Mm. Then they're gonna have some type of no DQ tornado tag match or something like that at SummerSlam, and then the Iconics will win. And that's going to make Asuka and Kairi Sane look even worse.
Oh, I didn't even think of that, yeah.
So, it's just like, right now, they've set it up where unless you throw some other team in here out of nowhere that could just completely throw a wrench in this storyline, it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. Oh, man, that sucks, yeah. Like, I like the idea of them getting counted out, though.
No, but the end of the match was fine.
I wish they would have did it better where I didn't like that she, like, jumped on the apron and was going to get back in and I was like... No, that's okay.
Well, Peyton pulled her away.
But I wish she would have, like, gotten knocked out of the ring. Because I think they are pretty funny and entertaining. Where, like, she was kind of, like, her head's down and she's, like, looking. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like something like that to where, like, it's clear, even more, like, I mean, this was obvious, too, but just something more entertaining where, you know, she's, like, looking between her eyes, like, oh, he's still counting. I'm not going to get in the ring or get up. And then get counted out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What a few think, people Gabby? are saying in the chat, well, one person said in the chat role that they feel like the Iconics need to be on TV more and that yes. this was a joke.
Yes.
This is basically sort of why I think Sasha said, stick it. The belts are a joke with the Iconics, according to Joseph Boza.
I don't think I don't blame
the Iconics at all. I think they're fantastic as the champions and fantastic and really good wrestlers.
Agreed.
and super entertaining on the microphone. Mm. They're just not using them.
But I don't think, since they got brought up, I don't think they've ever been used except for that one match they had in Australia. Where like they've ever really been
where
they used.
Where look like a legit wrestler.
Yes, to show them that they actually can wrestle.
Because Peyton Royce, like, in reality, I would say she's probably one of the five best female wrestlers on the roster right now. But you would have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people also said tonight that there was tons of matches. Like, they pretty much packed it all in on SmackDown tonight. So they're really not leaving much room for a lot to happen. A lot of these
no
matches
were elimination
quick.
Or two out of three falls matches.
Because they don't have time.
Thank God. Like, I'm so sick of those.
Mm.
Same.
Andrade versus Apollo Crews. Andrade attacks Apollo before the match even starts. Apollo's like, no, let's have the match. Andrade's just beating him down some more. And then, like, quick roll-up, and Apollo wins.
Mm. It was like, what did we do on Raw? Oh, we did that thing with Cedric Alexander? Let's do it with Apollo Crews, too.
Yeah. They will never notice it was the same exact finish.
Yeah. Why?
We noticed.
Why did he have to pin him the same exact way? Like, why couldn't he have hit some kind of devastating move and then pin him?
Because
it's still a loss.
That's a little more logic there, Tom.
Exactly. Because when I look back on it and I find that when we have a follow-up to this match, I'm still going to know, even though I didn't watch this, that he beat him.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. That finish is just like a waste because it doesn't even matter. I'd rather just be like, okay, he beat him. Now, and then Andrade has a legit beef with him of like, I know I'm better than you, now I want to beat you.
So my question for you guys is, did you have any idea that Crews would beat Andrade in this match tonight?
I at least was like, probably going to win just because.
When they rang the bell to actually start the match, my immediate thought was, they're doing Cedric Alexander again.
Mm.
And they did. So I'm not that surprised that happened. Although, I'm trying to figure out why it happened. I'm glad Apollo Crews is on SmackDown, and I'm glad they are giving him a victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked his it's just him, like, what he said earlier to Shane. Like, I thought that was a good.
You know what?
Hey, let's get this guy noticed.
If they're not going to push Aleister Black as far as immediately into a title picture with Nakamura, I would love to see him with Apollo Crews.
Because
again, just like Peyton Royce, no one knows how good Apollo Crews actually is. He is so... for a guy with as much muscle as he has, he gets almost as high as Ricochet on the ropes.
Mm, yeah.
And so it's just freakishly absurd.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying that we haven't seen him in a match that's longer than...
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to move him up to fight somebody who's a little bit bigger of a superstar... Mm-hmm. Then there really is no reason for him to win a victory over Andrade.
Agreed.
Mm.
Andrade's too big for that. And unfortunately, we don't want to see Andrade suffer like Rusev did.
Gabby's looking out for one of her men.
Yes. Exactly. Love you, Andrade.
Main event, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler. The big story in this is Shane eventually leads a whole bunch of guys to surround the ring. Most of the heels that are on the SmackDown roster, and a few that were on Raw that decided to stop by. One person that I do want to mention is Shelton Benjamin was around the ring because I want some Shelton memes. We asked about this last week. You guys were talking to the chat room and everything. No, people need to step up their game.
Yeah.
Hashtag, what's Shelton thinking? I want to play those on the show because now they didn't have like the actual like little vignette today with him. Because they were busy doing all these quick matches, apparently. Mm. But I want to know what Shelton's thinking.
They could have did that, though.
Huh?
They could have did that.
They could have threw that in there. So, all the heels surrounding the ring. Owens gives Ziggler a stunner. Shane pulls Owens off of him. Then Owens gives another half stunner. Shane messed up again. So when you take the two half stunners together, he gave him a stunner tonight.
Yes.
And
well,
then,
well, then he technically gave him one half, I don't know, two? Because he did pick him up at the very beginning of the show and give him a real one. So.
And then Owens just runs for it. There's no bell ring. All the heels chase Owens with the exception of McIntyre aiding Shane. Ziggler goes down in the ring. Kayla runs over, tries to get over Shane, saying he's going to pay, and that's when SmackDown goes off the air. We don't see what happens when Kevin Owens runs to the back.
Which I kind of didn't like that. We didn't see that. And it's so funny watching everyone run to the back because it just, like, funnels into that little corridor where, like, the guys at the back, like, can't run too fast because they all have to get through the gorilla position to get to wherever they're going.
Now I'm gonna present a spoiler to everyone so they're aware. Kevin Owens.
Wait, please, come on. This is probably my wrestling rap.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
So the wrestling rap is that
makes me upset.
The wrestling rap is that you were waiting outside with a car for him to dive into and drive away.
So why is it a spoiler alert?
You do not understand jokes.
I thought you were going to say something that
no,
was very important.
No, because I was trying to do a fun joke to lead into wrestling rap, but you blocked the segue. You don't block my segues. Wait,
I don't trust you.
But I don't know. I didn't really like the end of SmackDown.
Right? I hated the ending of SmackDown.
It did nothing. I think it would have been better if they all would have just gotten in the ring and just started beating up Kevin Owens. Like, why?
Or we see something in the back.
Yes.
Something.
Or it'd be even interesting if he jumps in a car and it takes off, and who's driving the car? We don't know. You know what I mean? Like, we don't see who's driving.
Oh, who's helping him. Or.
Vince McMahon.
Or the other thing that. I mean, we're running out of time because I know we got to get to wrestling rap. But the other thing in my mind, or Drew McIntyre snaps and attacks Shane. Why? Because they announced that top 10 battle royal on Raw. Who's Shane's number one buddy been? Drew McIntyre. Who was not in that battle royal? Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. What's going on there, huh, Shane? He's too busy with
anyway, wrestling rap. Yes. Let's get to it.
That's right. Wrestling rap is up. All right, guys. We're going to start off with kind of sad news. So WWE's Jeff Hardy apparently passed out in a stairwell before he was arrested for a DWI a few days ago. He was in Myrtle Beach and on the East Coast. Reeked of booze, apparently. Cops arrested him on Saturday. And TMZ Sports, I think, broke the recent exclusive that he was busted in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, being drunk in public, and was eventually released on less than $200 bond, super low. Now they've obtained police docs that say Hardy admitted to drinking vodka before cops found him passed out in that stairwell. So now he's facing a misdemeanor charge of public intoxication. But they've learned that Jeff isn't facing more trouble in the case, so it's just that. So, what do you guys think? It looks like he's going to have a court date happening later in the month, but he may not have a conviction on his record. He's 41 years old. He's had instances in the past. What's going on here?
Several instances in the past.
Yeah.
Several trips to rehab. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Several suspensions.
Mm-hmm. Like we were talking earlier, before, and I said it seems like every time he's not wrestling, something happens.
A lot of times when he's injured on a very later schedule.
Yeah.
But that's when
he hurt his leg before.
That's when this news seems to break.
He got arrested. I forget what happened before. I think it was the same kind of thing.
Like DUI or something. Yeah. DWI or something along those lines.
Well, when he's with WWE, he's probably under control because he's working.
No,
and
he wasn't with WWE then.
No, but I'm saying he wasn't
when he's on a show.
When
he's not hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, when he's traveling, he's working, and maybe he's having a drink at the bar in the hotel, so he's not really, like, going out and doing anything. But things probably get out of hand when he's on a break.
And
more time.
And it's one of those things where, obviously, on one hand, you want to feel for him, because clearly that means there's some type of problem there when you keep getting the help and you keep falling back. And, you know, there's only so much you can do. But then, you know, on the other hand, you do have to look at both sides of it. Is you've had all these opportunities, you've had all these you know, times try to help, but yet it's still happening. How many second and third, fourth, fifth chances will you get?
And I know that they released a statement of, like, you know, Jeff Hardy's on his own with this. Like, it's not like it, he's responsible for his own actions kind of thing.
WWE.
Which I'm almost surprised that, I mean, that they somebody hasn't stepped in and is like, we're sending you to rehab again, or, you know what I mean, at least something to just be like, last time you got hurt, this happened, you're hurt again, this happened, like, they don't want, you know, we don't want something bad to happen to him.
Right.
So it's like, and we want him to rehab and get back. It just kind of, I don't know, it's sad, and it's something that, you know, that if you don't, if you haven't dealt with this before, like, you're like, how do you deal with, you know, doing something that he loves to do, and then it's like getting ripped away from him. So it's like, oh, well, I'm going to do this other thing now, which is not good for me.
Which makes him not think of the other thing.
Yeah.
And also, he might be on like pain meds and also mixing alcohol. You never know how it's being abused. But also, apparently, Hardy paid a $153 ticket for public intoxication. So that means his case is considered closed, which I find crazy.
Yeah, something like that, that's all it takes.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you going to learn your lesson with a celebrity like him? He makes so much money, probably. And all he has to do is pay $153 ticket, $200 bond, and he has one court date. Like, it's pretty much getting dismissed. It's crazy. Anyways, next story that we have in our wrestling wrap. Bliss called out the Raw crowd for being disrespectful. She shot back at fans who reacted negatively to the Fatal 4-Way on Monday night that took place in Uniondale, New York. Now, Bliss faced Natalya, Naomi, and Carmella for the right to take on Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship at SummerSlam. During the match, fans chanted, "This is awful," and "Sasha Banks." Uh-oh. So, following that match, which Natty apparently won, Bliss tweeted, "Just disrespectful." And then somebody wrote back to her, "Booing is fine, telling a character they suck is fine, but outright shitting on the workers as they're out there busting their asses, unnecessary. That chant was personal and directed at the effort of the talent as if they weren't giving it all they had." And Lexi also wrote, "Yes, we encourage reactions, cheering and booing and chants, but we don't encourage people to be rude because some people clapped back at it, you know."
It's
interesting.
It's tricky. Like, one thing with that match, honestly, overall, I enjoyed that specific match. It went like 10 minutes too long. It was a very long... I mean, it was elimination match.
I didn't watch it. So I didn't see the match.
The match went probably about 25 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It was a long match. And when you really look at it, as far as from the standpoint of who's in it, so you have one of your top heels in Alexa. Naomi has not been on TV in forever. Natalya gets kind of a medium reaction. And then they had Carmella, who was on fire and then was eliminated within 5 minutes. So it was a Long Island, New York crowd. They're known for being rowdy.
That's my place.
So, you know, there were a lot of rest holds in this match. And like I said, it went really long with some people that they haven't really seen any type of storyline with. So they were getting annoyed. And it sucks. None of them deserve it. Again, I thought the match itself was good. The ending little promo with Natalya and Becky was good.
Yeah, I did see that. That was good, yeah.
But it was one of those things where they were getting impatient. And because there was so much hype for that Battle Royal to end the show, they wanted to get to that.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I don't know if, like, let's say Becky was out there, like, she was out there. If she would have got up and started saying something to the crowd, like, then I think it would have distracted too much. To, like, I don't know. I can see just Becky being like, "Yo, come on, you dopes. What are you doing?"
Right.
Like, watch the match. It's good. I don't know.
I'm seeing people in the chat room agree that it was way too long. But still, I believe and take the stance that you shouldn't be disrespectful.
Oh, no, show. I agree with that completely.
Definitely don't want to disrespect the talent. Last story is Finn Balor has... Oh, Balor, my bad.
Finn take two.
Balor. What did I say?
Let's start this whole thing over again.
It's... probably my accent, you guys, when I mispronounce things all the time. I also say words that don't exist. Get ready. So Finn Balor.
Balor. Take three.
Balor. Oh, God. Finn Balor. You know, I know this, too. I know this. All right. Finn Balor.
There you go. I'm so proud of you.
Has asked permission to take time off with WWE post SummerSlam around August time. So, in my opinion, I think he's taking it because we know he's engaged. Maybe he's doing a quick marriage, getting married, doing his honeymoon, and doing it all in one shot, and that's why he's taking off. That's my opinion. Prediction.
How long is he off for?
Two months.
2 months.
That's, like, great for a wedding and your honeymoon.
And it was written off perfectly on Raw. I think he's gone now for the next 2 months.
You think so?
Yes.
Oh, I think... No, I think he's going to work through SummerSlam. He's going to have a match with Wyatt.
He may.
And Baylor's going to win.
We'll have to wait and see on that. But we do have to wrap up. I'm sure.
Wait.
You got a quick Owens thing. We got to wrap up, though.
Of course. A quick Owens thing.
Let's
always.
Let's do it. Let's
don't
do it.
Hate
so
on me
we
when
got,
you give me four
we got
minutes
to go. They're trying to kick
stories
us out.
All right. Well, Kevin Owens, apparently, this is the news. There will be a match. We're on the wrestling street with Shane McMahon in a cage for SummerSlam. That is what is being predicted. Kind of like a Hell in a Cell match.
We just had Hell in a Cell. Well, we just had Shane in a cage like 2 months ago.
And well, he was in a Hell in a Cell with Owens already.
He'll be in another cell or a cage. Yeah. Probably at SummerSlam. That's being reported right now.
Meh.
No, I think it's going to be fun, but I don't know if it needs to be a cage match.
No, they can think of something else. Something. He's been in too many cages.
Mm-hmm. Also, SummerSlam is happening in Toronto. Owens is Canada, from Canada.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
For Owens to lose to Shane.
For Owens to win to Shane.
No.
Come on and take a stance their town hall.
Shane just took a very rare loss to The Undertaker. He ain't losing anymore this year.
Yes,
we
got to
wrap this show. But we want to know what you guys think based on that. What's going to happen with Owens and Shane? Is Baylor coming back to feud with Balor? Who knows? Balor, Baylor. We can see him.
Balor could come back as Baylor.
He could. Maybe that's Liv Morgan's new gimmick. She's going to be Finn Baylor. But we'll see. You can talk to us on various forms of social media. Tom Connelly could be where you're
at. Find me Twitter, Instagram, TomTheCom. Also check out my Etsy store, Connelly Central. I think Sami Zayn's going to turn on Kevin Owens in Toronto.
Ooh. Gabby.
Hey guys, you can follow me at Gabby Loren TV on both Twitter and Instagram. That's GABBYLOREN TV. Thank you for everybody who has reached out so far and does watch us week to week. We really appreciate it. I will be out of the country next week, so I will not be here. I'm so sorry.
How long are you gone?
10 days.
So you just missed one episode or two?
I think two, because I come back on a Wednesday.
Dear God.
I
gotta put up with Tom for 2 weeks without you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm going out of the country too.
But follow me on Insta. I'll be posting stories and going to Israel. I can't wait. It's
there
gonna be
go
so much fun.
And follow me on Twitter at Will Rosenberg, Instagram, the Will Rosenberg, ProSensitive.com/Christian Rosenberg. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow me on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Tom Connelly and Gabby Loren, I'm Christian Rosenberg. See you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.